A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 472. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Simon and the Witch. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, this is a BBC children's show from 1987. We're back in the 1980s. There are in total 25 15-minute episodes spread over two series. And as the title might suggest, it is a show about the adventures and misadventures of a young schoolboy and his friend, the witch. And there are other adventures with their other sort of people they know through the school and so on. It is very much a children's show, this one, Brian.
Yes, it is, with a sort of comic adventures and mishaps at school and during summer holidays and so on. So getting into the setup, Simon is a young British schoolboy. He's in junior school, which I think makes him about 10 or 11 years old. He is friends with an eccentric woman who just happens to be a witch.
But of course she does. And she is a, we'll talk about this later on, but she does get referred to by lots of people as a witch, and then Simon gets told not to call her that. But she is in fact a witch. A very chaotic one who can use real magic to perform certain transformations, and she can make things disappear and reappear. Although she does have trouble, I think, Brian, sometimes with the second half of a spell transforming something back. And part of the problem is she has a spell book, but she can't read and write properly. So as part of the setup of this show, Simon, who is about to start back at school for a new term, invites her to come and join the class and learn to read.
Yes, and the school seems to accept her as a student without any real issues, which is interesting. And it sets the stage for some bizarre adventures and mishaps and things happening at the school and so on.
Comedy ensues.
Yes, indeed. So looking at the characters, Simon was played by Hugh Pollard. He's our young protagonist of the title and a sort of typical schoolboy who is bored at this British school and enjoys these sort of madcap chaotic adventures that happen because of the witch.
Indeed. And of course, we have the other title character, the witch herself, played by Elizabeth Spriggs, an unnamed and eccentric older lady who is friends with Simon. She's never given a name other than the witch, although there is a sort of running joke set up at the start of the series where somebody refers to as Mrs. And then says witch. And so afterwards, she's sort of known as Mrs. Witch. She, as we've said, can actually do spells. She has a black cat. She has a book of spells which she can't read. Strangely obsessed at the start of the series with cabbages, which I wasn't entirely sure about, Brian, whether she was just transforming things into cabbages and then not being able to turn them back.
Yeah, that was something they had quite a bit in the early part of the series that was interesting. Simon's mother, known only as Mum, no other name, played by Sarah Winter, is a sort of bemused motherly character who is rushing Simon out to go to school and always seems to be baking cakes and sometimes tells Simon off for referring to this older lady as a witch.
Yes, a theme that we will come back to from time to time.
It does come up from time to time in here.
It does. We turn to the school and we have Simon's teacher, Miss Feeble, played by Elizabeth Proud, class teacher. Imagine a sort of stereotypical prim and proper English school teacher with her hair in a bun, her glasses on the end of her nose, her very sort of formal blouse, and you've got basically Miss Feeble. And strangely seems to just accept the fact, without too much pushback, that there's now a older woman witch who is part of her class and who is taking lessons in reading and writing. Just seems to be accepted to a certain extent.
She does always seem to be flustered and frustrated with the witch and what the witch does, and often what the other students in the class are doing. That's sort of a big part of that character, too. Mr. Bodley, played by John Rapley, is the school head teacher or principal, and again is another comic stereotype of this sort of ineffectual headmaster who is telling Miss Feeble what to do a lot of the time and so on.
And then if we stray outside the school but stick with the adult world for a moment, we have Lady Fox Custard. Although I think at some point she's actually, it's Fox Custard, but she's called Lady Fox Custard. And she is played by legendary British comic actress Joan Sims of Carry On Movies fame, but used to pop up in all sorts of comedy TV shows. And Lady Fox Custard is the sort of lady of the manor. She's the local rich dignitary, well off, living in a very large, posh sort of mansion, held in high regard by the local community. Although she does seem to have that sort of Joan Sims thing that she is faking a posh accent, which is another sort of classic British comedy trope, I think, Brian. But she's it's Joan Sims, so, you know, great value.
I think she calls herself Faux Coutard or Folks Coutard or something like that. And everyone else calls her Fox Custard.
Yeah.
And she resides, of course, at Haughty Hall.
You can see what sort of area or territory we're in.
Yes, absolutely. Hopkins, played by Joe Grossi, is Lady Fox Custard's butler, who appears to be very serious and has a posh accent of his own, and then lets his guard down to be a more fun character who the children can see. And they play with that switching back and forth quite a bit.
So we'll mention also that there's Simon's classmates at school, particularly in the first season, who include, again, some sort of rather stereotypical school kid characters. There's his slightly not so bright friend Jimmy, played by David Crane, who clearly struggles with classes and gets quite down and miserable about that, but he's also one of Simon's regular friends. We've got the class goody-goody sort of mean girl type Sally, played by Nicholas Stapleton, who is always the teacher's pet and seems exasperated with Simon and his friends, and of course the witch. And then we have another character in the class, Joyce, who is, amazingly, this is the first ever screen role for Naomi Harris, who thus becomes our second, I think, Brian, canonical money penny that we've seen in a British Invaders show. I was trying to find out if we'd seen Samantha Bond in anything, but I couldn't find her in any of the shows we've done so far. But regular listeners will remember that way back when we covered UFO, of course, we had Lois Maxwell pop up in one episode, I believe.
And she also did one of the voices in Stingray.
Of course, yes. So we're waiting for a Samantha Bond.
Carolyn Bliss also played Miss Moneypenny in the James Bond films, and we haven't covered anything with her either, although she did play Princess Diana at one point on a TV production.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've got two of the four Moneypennies so far.
Yes, I think that's right.
But anyway, Naomi Harris is here, Brian.
Yes, Naomi Harris was in the first season and very entertaining in this, for sure. So getting into some things a little more, the witch sort of sneaks her way into school and joins Simon's class. There isn't any magic involved in her getting in. She just sort of accepted because she wants to learn how to read better and is soon just sort of another pupil there and starts causing all sorts of havoc in the lessons.
She does indeed. Quite a lot of havoc in these school lessons. The class is always seeming to be preparing for something, or Miss Feeble is, in her exasperated fashion, is trying to prepare the class for something, whether it's a fundraising jumble sale or whether it's going to be the end of term big theatre production that they do. But they also get visits. They get the local mayor, another very sort of comedy character. We get Lady Fox Custard coming to visit the school. And then, of course, we are going to get a visit from the school inspectors. But of course, in standard comedy fashion, they are then mixed up with or mistaken for two of the witch's witch friends who turn up and are treated as the school inspectors. Hijinks ensue. And I've sort of all of this and just thinking we've also got somewhere in there, there's a comedy gorilla in one episode, Brian.
Yes, there is. And I can't explain exactly why that happens, but yes, there is. We do know something about why it happens, but it is sort of a strange addition to this show.
And of course, while all this chaos is going on, we've got Simon and his friends and his classmates sort of falling into stereotypical roles again. They're sort of accepted roles in the school.
Yeah, that's right. And Simon is trying to help the witch to learn to read. Sally is sort of always the teacher's pet. Jimmy is struggling and anxious with pretty much everything that's going on.
Yes, I think if we had a character like Jimmy in a sort of modern school drama, we'd hope he'd be getting some support in or out of the classroom, because he seems pretty miserable most of the time.
Yeah, he does, but it's in a sort of very TV comedy kind of way. I think you're right. It would be quite different than a newer show.
We'll also mention there's another new boy at the school who turns up in the first season, and that is Cuthbert, Lady Fox Custard's nephew, who joins the gang. Lady Fox Custard thinks he is some sort of genius. He seems to be just a regular schoolboy who joins in the gang and generally just has fun with the others.
Yeah, he seems to be, you know, someone who just wants to be a kid, where Lady Fox Custard wants him to be more mature than he really is and doing great things somehow.
And I'll just mention, because we've got Naomi Harris's Joyce, that she seems to be, much like in the later on in the Bond movies, she seems to display competence, both in her acting and in the fact that she seems to be one of the classmates who's just getting on with things without causing too much in the way of sort of like hysterical fuss. She's just quietly going around doing her schoolwork, helping them prepare for these various challenges they've got coming up, and being quite sort of matter-of-fact about things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's turn from some class struggles to the production notes that we have for this series. And not surprisingly, we are going to start with a series of children's novels by Margaret Stuart Barry, who lived from 1927 to 2022, and who wrote the stories that we're going to be talking about.
That's right. She wrote 8 books between 1976 and 1987 about this sensible schoolboy Simon and his eccentric and silly friend who happens to be a witch. And those were quite popular. One of the stories was read on BBC's Jack and Ori series early in 1985. The television production we're talking about has its roots in the BBC anthology series called Up Our Street, which adapted a number of different stories into one-off plays for children's television.
And I don't know too much about Up Our Street, but I do know that obviously they included a 15-minute adaptation of the very first Simon and the Witch story, which is about the witch accidentally turning the school caretaker into a frog and then not being able to turn him back. That doesn't show up in this series, but it was in this 15-minute episode of Up Our Street, produced and directed by Greg Childs. Different cast. Desmond Askew played Simon and Joanna Munro played the witch. And that was broadcast in July 1985, and it seems to have been the most successful possibly of this anthology series. It's certainly the one that broke out and gets its its own show.
Yeah, that's right. And it was popular enough that in 1987, the BBC commissioned a series of 13 episodes to be produced by Jackanory producer Angela Beeching. And the stories were adapted and expanded by Valerie Georgeson and directed by David Bell, who also had a background in Jackanory. And this was with a completely new cast as compared to those one-off stories that were done in the anthology show.
And I'll also just mention in terms of production that it's got a theme tune, a rather annoyingly catchy theme tune, but I'm not quite sure who composed it. The sound designer was Trevor Webster. And so whether he came up with this little piece of music, it does have a feel of a slightly lower budget version of the famous Grange Hill theme tune from a BBC long-running series from 1978 to 2008, which here in Britain, if anybody hears the Grange Hill theme, they instantly know what it is. But it's got that feel to it, although, as I say, done on a sort of slightly shoestring budget, perhaps. But I don't know exactly who composed this catchy piece of music, Brian.
I will say that the opening and closing title sequences for Simon and the Witch are really fun. I enjoy them a lot. Simon and the Witch was broadcast at 4:20 p.m. on BBC One, starting on November 16th of 1987. And that 13-episode series was popular enough that the BBC commissioned a second series with another 12 episodes that ran starting in the following November.
And we'll talk a little bit about the second series next time, but I'll just say this was also very well received, and I think, well, we know from the notes that BBC were considering actually making a third series of Simon and the Witch, but they ran into well-known problems with child actors, which is, at this age, they get an awful lot taller very quickly, I think, Brian. They were obviously aging out of their roles, and in fact, even in series two, you can see the obvious height differences from the first series. So the third series of this show never actually happened.
Yeah, continuing with child actors is always awkward, and I think having the characters be much older wouldn't really have worked for this show. It was really meant to be with fairly young kids.
So if we have intrigued you, let's talk about the availability of this show and how you can actually watch it. As ever in Region 2, I'm sort of very well placed because it's very easy. The DVD from the BBC contains all 25 episodes, no extras, I'm afraid, but it's only a tenner currently, £10. Or you can stream this series and buy it from the Apple Store or Amazon here. Again, £10 for the whole series, or you can do a sampler and just see one episode for about £1.90. And you can rent the DVD I mentioned from the cinemaparadiso.co.uk site, which we sometimes talk about. So you can buy the DVD, you can stream it, and you can rent it in Region 2. Pretty straightforward. Slightly more complicated across the pond in Region 1, Brian.
Well, yes, in Region 1, there is no release, but the imports are available on Amazon for about $15 US or $21 Canadian at the moment. So you need a Region 2 capable DVD player to look at those. The original books that it's based on are out of print at this point, but they are available on secondhand markets. They are floating around.
Yeah, I think you can find them fairly cheaply. We haven't read any of them. Don't think we plan to either, but we'll see.
Yes, they are terribly high on my list.
No. So that'll do us for episode one. We'll return next time to look at some more of their adventures. As I've said, we're going to talk about the second series, and then we're going to move on to talk about some of the aspects of 1980s television children's television, some of the bits that we found a bit more problematic about 1980s TV shows, and then we'll get into reviews and recommendations of this series.
Absolutely. So until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there with lots of good conversations going there. So please join us. And you can also follow us on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, please come and find us on the socials. And please come and find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com, where you'll find all sorts of geek-related content, including podcasts, streaming, gaming content, and so on, at vognetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Till next time, Eamon in England also, signing off.